Okay, so welcome everyone. Wow, I was thinking about a month ago when we came on for Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and I don't know, like I was thinking back to the energy of that time and thinking about the past month, and it's like, I don't know, just such a whirlwind, a wave. It's hard to even put words to it, but I'm so happy to be here, Kislev, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. I don't know when the sun went down here in Israel. And the new moon came over, and I said, wow, like the energy of light and miracles. I don't think any of us have ever felt such a hug from Hashem and embraced that energy of light and miracles and Kislev like ever before. That is for sure. So first of all, I want to say that when we're learning, that our learning should be in the merit of safety for our soldiers, safety in Israel, safety around the world for everyone, and the hostages should be immediately freed miraculously in this month. And I heard now that there's a big rally now in Washington, D.C. So it's amazing to feel like we're not there, but we're like connecting our energy again in a way of unity. So I felt like, wow, I'm so happy that exactly now at this time they're gathering together in Washington. We're gathering here together, all in the merit of really just it should just be a miraculous new month of just total above nature miracles. And I really feel like it's happening. So you know what? We're in a war right now, a physical war, right? But at the same time, really, what's happening amongst all of us is that there's a spiritual war going on. And that spiritual war is a war of good and evil, light and darkness. That is what's happening in the world. And, you know, Hanukkah again is this month of light, the month of miracles. And I really feel when I was thinking about Kislev coming on that I've never. The story of Hanukkah and the essence of Hanukkah that we're going to tap into this month is really such a story of, I feel like, the life of the Jewish people. You know, if you look at the story and the history of the Jewish people in general, it's almost like one big storyline, one big plot, and all of our stories throughout history, all of our stories throughout history, we have the Purim story, the Hanukkah story, you go through the whole Tanakh, the whole Bible. It's really the story of light versus darkness, of good versus evil. I was talking to a friend on Shabbat. She's very creative. And she's like, you know what? I want to write a kid's book, you know, because it's really the same story. There's like the good guy and the bad guy, and they're fighting. And what happens? The light always prevails. The good always wins. The light always prevails. So, really, the question I really feel that all of us are asking of ourselves is, how can we tap into that light? Light always prevails. Our soul is light. We are light. And how can we tap into our inner light and really shine that light outward and access that light within ourselves in order to dispel the darkness within the world? So I really feel like, again, this month is such a resource of strength for us, of the strength of our soul, that we can really live with this energy of the month and take from the lessons that we can learn within the month, really like never before. So I want to divert a little bit from what we normally do, which is really go through the zodiac of the month. And we're going to go through that at the end. But what I also want to do, oh, and also forever may have to leave early. I just wanted to tell everyone that at the end, we're going to be having an amazing meditation by Miriam Rachel. She's on here. So, and it's going to be so powerful. So, whoever, if you can't stay on, it's going to be recorded, but I definitely encourage everyone to stay on if they could. So, before we go into again the zodiac of the month, I think it's very important for us to understand what is this dynamic of light and darkness spiritually? What does that mean for us? You know, we hear the word light now, light, darkness, good, evil. What does that actually mean on a spiritual level? Because the more we can tap into this energy and understand it, the more we can really empower ourselves, the more power we have. So the story of light and darkness, of good and evil, really just goes back to the creation of the world. that when Hashem created the world, God, who's infinite, created a physical world through a process called the Tzimtzum, the first contraction of his infinite light in order to create a finite world. Now, again, this is a topic that we could go on and on about for weeks and months in a curriculum, and we do that in Live Kabbalah. But the point that I really want to bring in is that why did God create this first symptom where he contracted his light, he created a vacuum or a space in order that there would be separateness, consciousness in the world? That was part of the divine plan. Because if there is separateness in the world, then, and we choose God, then we are in relationship with him, right? And if it was just light, for example, let's say we travel up into space and we go into the globe of the sun. I mean, obviously we can't even do that. It's the light there is so strong that it's blinding. We can't even see, right? So only in darkness can we see light. And God, when he created the world, Hashem, when he created the world, wanted us to have a relationship with him. He wanted us to have free choice in order that we should choose light versus darkness, in order that we should choose our light, our goodness, and engage in that relationship with free choice. So it's part of really the cosmic setup in the creation really of the world. Now, if we go now into the actual days of creation, so that was kind of pre-creation. Now we're going into creation. What do we see? The story of the creation of the moon, of the diminishment of the moon. Right, there's a story where it says that the moon and the sun were equal in size, and then the moon was diminished. And the moon is actually considered feminine, and that's what we're here celebrating tonight, is Rosh Chodesh. It's the holiday of the new moon. Now, what happens on Rosh Chodesh? We go outside today, what are we going to see? Look up, we're not going to see a moon, right? It's the time when there is no light in the darkness of the sky. And yet, we're celebrating Rosh Chodesh. We're celebrating the new moon now, not in the middle of the month, not in the 15th of the month. Because what are we actually celebrating on Rosh Chodesh? We're celebrating potential. We're celebrating the potential in the darkness. That, again, we don't see the light, but just the actual potential and engaging in that relationship from a place of potential is really when we access our strength and when we access our true light. Even though it may be hidden, it's diminished, we don't even see it, but that's when we access our true strength of character and who we are. Now, women also are compared to the moon in the cycle of the month. There's the waxing and the waning. Again, it's these highs and lows, the contrast of the dark and the light, right? So as we see, it's built into the framework of the world, the framework of creation, that Hashem wanted us to, in order to be in that relationship, that there should be that context of dark and light in order to be able to be fully present and intimate with God in that dynamic of the relationship. Now, if we take it even one step further, what happened after? We have the sin of Eitz Hadas, the sin of the eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what happened then? That's when darkness, they ingested darkness, right? They ingested those dark energies and it became part of the fabric of the actual world. Now, our job now until Mashiach comes is that we should be the light. We should stay in our light. We should own our light. We should tap into our light, because the more we tap into that light, the darkness of the world is just eradicated. That is part of how Hashem created. And our job as the Jewish people and everyone who's ambassadors of goodness in the world is what? Is to bring more light into the world. What is light? Light is more, is a higher level consciousness, more mitzvos, doing good deeds. When we do good deeds in this world, we literally draw down light into the physical world. More learning Torah, doing mitzvos, more unity, love, connection, all those higher frequency energies, that's light. That's bringing light down into the world. And the more, again, that we're in light, the more we're shining our light, the more we're really stepping into our light and our power, the more we start to see miracles in the world. Now, I want to go even a little bit more into this idea of light and darkness, because again, I think it's such an important concept for us to understand. And then we're going to go into Kislev and we're going to see how we can really access this light through the energy of the month. But what is light and what is darkness spiritually? So it's explained that according to Kabbalah, when we talk about light, we're talking about the life force energy within everything in the world, okay? Everything in this physical world has a soul within it. Everything. If we feel our pulse, what are we feeling? We're feeling essentially our life force energy, right? The godliness, our soul within us. And everything is a piece of Hashem. And that is the light, the essence, the soul of it. Now, what is darkness according to Kabbalah, according to the mystical teaching? Dark energy in the world, what's called the klipa energy, the husk, which covers over the core. It's like, for example, you have a fruit. So there's the core of it. That's the light. And over it is the peel, the layers. That's the husk, right? Now, the dark energy of the world has no energy of its own. And this is a really important concept. It has nothing of its own. All because everything, again, gets its life force energy from the light, from God, from the soul. So it's explained according to Kabbalah that it gets its life force energy from the backside. It's called the acharim, the backside of holiness. And it literally nurses. It says it like nurses. It sucks out the energy from the holiness. Now, so again, why is this important? Because when we see darkness in the world, and when we face our shadow parts of ourselves and the darkness that's out there in the world, it could feel so real and so overpowering. And really, we have to know that in its source spiritually, it has nothing of its own. It's just leeching, again, its energy from the light, from the holiness. It is nothing of its own. And I really feel like when I learned this subject, this idea, it's so empowering, because very often when we're facing our own shadows and now in the world, I mean, the darkness of the world, the fears, the anxieties within the world, or just even our own physical safety could feel so overwhelming and could put us really in victim mode, where we feel like we're victims. We lose our power. We lose our strength. And when we really understand this idea spiritually that everything's the life force energy of the world is light, and darkness really is nothing of its own. It's like, for example, let's say you have a ball and just empty on the inside. There's nothing in it. It's like one pop and it just boom, the whole thing is just going to explode. That is one of the most empowering ideas that we could actually really learn. And when we see it for what it is, then we see its purpose, because there's a purpose in the darkness. Hashem created, again, that purpose that we should have free choice to engage in that relationship, to feel the feelings, to face whatever we're supposed to extract from that darkness, from those feelings, from those emotions, from people in our lives that may be causing us not to see our light or feel our light. But when we actually extract the purpose, what happens? We extract the sparks from it. And then through that, the light overcomes and dispels the darkness. Now, it's a very subtle dynamic at play, because again, we say that the dark energies really have nothing. There's nothing of its own. It's just taking from the life force energy of holiness, of Kedusha, but at the same time, it feels very real. I mean, it feels very real. I mean, I don't know, I can say so for myself, you know, like listening to sounds of, you know, explosions and watching the news and just seeing what's out in the world, it feels very real, right? And all of us are really facing fears, anxieties, like never before, because we're faced with even our own existence, our own mortality, I think in a way like never before throughout history. And, you know, it says again, so that's where it's a very subtle and a very fine dynamic going on. And, you know, it says to even strengthen this idea that, yes, it feels very real. And Chassidus explained that Amalek, that they're brazen like an eagle, that they're bold and brazen like an eagle. So in other words, we're saying that it's not real in one way, because it's really not real on its own, but it feels very real because it is brazen like an eagle. You know, I think of that vision of the few, you know, things that I saw on the news of watching those like paragliders, you know, going over the border. And it's like this eagle, you know, like it kind of like gave that vision to me, you know, and it's like, so again, it feels very real. But how did now do, what I want to go into now is that again, if Kislev, the new moon that we're in right now, is the month of light and it's the holiday of miracles. So how can we take from this energy of Kislev to empower us, to get out of the victim mode, out of the storyline, out of the plot, you know, that of our life that just runs through our life and that we're just kind of used to our programming? And how do we take from the energy of Kislev in order to empower us to really access our light and to shine the light? I think that's really the call of the hour. That's the question I think that all of us really are asking ourselves. So let's look a little bit into Kislev, because it really is incredible when you start learning the deeper dimensions of the Torah and you're like, wow, like the answers are all here. You know, we could all be asking ourselves these questions, but as we're going to see, the answers really are all right here. So Kislev, if we look at just the word Kislev itself, Kislev can be broken down into Kes, Lev. Kes, meaning the hidden, of Lev, standing for Lamed Vav, which refers to the hiddenness of the 36 candles of Hanukkah. So again, we see right from the get-go of Kislev that the light is hidden. It's a hidden light. The light of Hanukkah, of those 36 candles, is a light that's hidden. So in other words, we have to kind of do the work of like cracking it open, which is really through learning, through accessing what is the consciousness of the month in order to really see right there how to access that light. Now, what is the whole holiday of Hanukkah? We're celebrating that holiday with the miracle of the oil, right? That there was enough oil to last for one day. And what happened? The oil lasted for 8 days. So what is the idea of oil? So oil comes from olive oil, comes from olives, but we take an olive and the olive is crushed. And when we crush the olives, what happened? Comes from it, the olive oil. So what do we see right from there, that what we're all feeling, which is like we are being crushed like never before as a collective, is really part of this process of stepping into our light. It's just part of the process. And when we are crushed, right, this is how it works, that from darkness, we see light. And then the crushing actually brings out our strength. But it brings out our strength if we recognize that there's a purpose in it. Again, if we're not stepping into it from a place of victim mode and a place of like, oh, this is the storyline, this is the plot of our lives, and this is the plot of the Jewish people. But when we really step into it from a place of empowerment, of recognizing, wow, like my light, my oil, it comes through this process, Then like oil rises to the top, we can really rise to the top. We can really rise into our greatness from that. Now it says in a mimer called Ata Tetzaveh, exactly about this idea of the idea of olive oil coming from olives that are crushed. And it says there that the purpose of crushing of the olives in order to get out the olive oil is that what does it do? It brings out our Mesiras Nefesh, what's loosely translated as self-sacrifice, okay? Now, what is Mesiras Nefesh? Mesiras Nefesh comes from a place within our soul that's called the Yechida Shebenefesh, the highest part of our soul. There's five parts of the soul, and the Yechida Shebenefesh is the highest part of our soul that we're not fully have conscious access to it. But it says that when a person does, it's called Mesiras Nefesh, and they have access to this highest part of their soul, which is really Mashiach consciousness. Now, I think what we're seeing right now in the world is that, again, there's this physical world, there's soldiers on the front line, and that level of literally self-sacrifice, I mean, it just blows away my mind. I think living in Israel and having neighbors, you see them all leaving every morning in their soldiers, in their uniform soldiers. And, you know, friends of mine whose kids are my age, these 18, 19-year-olds, I mean, the just going out to war, and the mothers are like, okay, giving them a big hug. And I mean, the mesiras nefesh of the mothers and the families to let their children go, and the sense that they feel that they are there to defend the Jewish people, and they know they're walking into the most dangerous territory, and they do it with such a conviction and such a mission is, I mean, it's like there's just no words. I know there's no words within me. It like really just brings me like goosebumps and tears. But at the same time, every single one of us are part of this war, right? Again, there's a spiritual war of our minds, of our hearts, of our consciousness. And within that spiritual war, we're all asked to have that level of mesiras nefesh. Now, mesiras nefesh, again, is loosely translated as self-sacrifice, but really it's explained that what is it really? Mesiras nefesh is mesiras haratzon, that when we actually sacrifice our will. And a lot of times we think sacrificing our will has to be in like very big ways, like very big things, very obvious things. But I really feel like this idea of self-sacrifice, of really having mesiras nefesh and sacrificing our will could be so subtle. You know, like we could go out in the morning and just see someone walking down the street and just not feel like smiling at them. And we give them a smile. And it's amazing how much we can give that person. We can literally give them life, you know? I was thinking about it. I had to put my kids to sleep before. And I was like, wow, just if I have patience right here, right now, that is tapping into my mesiras nefesh, you know, really into transforming and giving up my will. So everyone in different ways, but it doesn't, again, have to be something so big. Some people here in Israel are making food for soldiers. Some people in America, I mean, the amount of money that has been fundraised and collected is incredible. So I really feel each and every one of us, we're seeing this so much within the unity of the world, of really tapping into the giving and the really coming out of ourselves, of our natures, to really be there for the collective. And I think it's just incredible. You know, sometimes, you know, the idea of mesiras nefesh, in a way, sometimes it's easier to, like, not, I don't want to say easier, God forbid, but people are dying for a cause. But to really live with mesiras nefesh is, it's not easy. It's not easy. You know, it takes a lot of inner work. And, but I think, again, we have to really recognize that it's not so big as we think it is. And Hashem really appreciates the little gestures that we do. Now, what else can we take from the energy of this month? So it says we have to be aware that, again, the challenge with it, and again, in facing the darkness within the world, is, again, it feels so real and it's so heavy and it's so sad and it's so painful to watch. But when we really have this awareness that Hashem is with us in this process, that is the biggest gift, to really, really step into that awareness and to really feel into that awareness. Because what does it say about this month, especially of Kislev? The letter of the month is a letter Samach. Samach is shaped like almost like a circle, which is almost like a hug. Like if you think about a circle, it's like this embracing, hugging energy. And it says in Ashrei, where each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet are, there's a sentence about them. It says about Samach that Sameh Hashem l'chol hanoflim, that Hashem is literally picking up the fallen. And, you know, again, when we're feeling this energy, and all of us are, of being crushed, of being squeezed in order to like extract that olive oil, extract our light, when we really feel that Hashem is with us in the process and Hashem is hugging us, I know I feel like, I think all of us should just give ourselves a hug right now, like really just embrace ourselves, give ourselves a hug. And if we really feel into that, that Hashem is hugging us in this process, it allows us to step into it from a place of empowerment, to really step out of victim mode and to really feel like, wow, Hey, I got this one. Like, I have the power to do this. You know, Hashem is with me. Hashem is somech me. Hashem is holding me and hugging me in this process. And that is our strength. Now, again, we see that, again, there's always darkness before there's light. And we see that in the month of Cheshvan and Kislev. Right? This month of Cheshvan was the darkest of the months. And the month of Cheshvan, the letter for the month of Cheshvan is a Nun. And the letter for the month of Kislev is a Samach. So we look at the Nun and the Samach together. What does it spell? It spells Nes. It smells miracle. So again, it's that when we really hold on to, like, okay, Cheshvan was a really dark month and it was really heavy, but it was setting the stage. It was part of that process of the Kislev, of that joining together to bring miracles into the world. And this process, I really feel, requires so much bitachon, so much trust in Hashem. Because, you know, when you're falling and you don't see the net on the ground, right? It's scary. It could be very, very, very scary. And Kislev, if you look at the word for Kislev, Kislev also comes from the word Kislam in Babylonian. Babylonian Kislam means trust. That I put our trust in Hashem, that our Hashem is hugging us, Hashem is holding us, Hashem is with us in the process. And it requires really a sense of active trust. You know, it's so easy to have trust in a way intellectually. Like, we all know Hashem is with us, and there's from the darkness we get into our light. But to actually really have that active trust requires a lot of work. And we see that in the story of Hanukkah. What does it say about the miracle of Hanukkah? That they actually had to go out to look for the jugs of oil. It wasn't like the oil just like appeared for them. There was a process when they actually had to go and search for those jugs of oil. And when we actually have that act of trust and we're like in the process, we're really engaging in that process, then what do? We build vessels. We really build vessels to receive the light of Hashem and to receive those miracles. We build those vessels. And really, I think what, again, is challenging in this process, and we spoke about it a lot last month, is that even though, again, intellectually, we know this, like, I'm not telling anyone anything new. I'm sure these are things that we all have heard of. But what's hard about it, what's really challenging about this, is that there's so much subconscious stuff that comes up now. A lot of the things that we're feeling, a lot of the fears that we're feeling, a lot of the anxieties that may be coming up for people, it's not even stuff that we're so conscious of, right? It's a lot of it is like traumas that we've gone through in the past, and especially people that have gone through traumas in the past, like times like now, it like everything kind of just comes up from the subconscious. And again, I think that's what is the challenging aspect of it. But when we actually go into the work of facing that subconscious and really working through and processing our feelings in the subconscious, then what happens? That's, again, when we really access our light. Now, where do we see this in Kislev? That the sense of the month of Kislev is the sense of sleep. Okay, sleep is considered the sense of the month of Kislev. We don't think of sleep as actually one of the senses, but it's, according to Kabbalah, it's one of the senses. And what happens when a person sleeps, right? What happens when you sleep is all the subconscious stuff come out in our dreams, right? You could not even be realizing that you worried about something, you have something on your mind, but all of a sudden you could have a dream and you're like, whoa, I didn't even realize I was still thinking about that, you know? And that's really what's happening this month. Like, there's a lot of sense of like, of we're really tapping into the subconscious within ourselves. You know, I know for myself personally, it was so interesting when this war started, I didn't really think about the fact that I had this like fear of death, suffering, God forbid, like terrorists. Like, it didn't really hit that it was like something that I was struggling with. And then I remember I was having one week, I was having a really hard time sleeping, and I was having dreams about terrorists paragliding in. I mean, it was like really scary. I was having these really, really big nightmares. And I realized, I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize that I had a fear inside of me. And then when I actually did that work of like sitting with the fear and actually facing it, I even realized, I'll tell you, that it came from when I was 14 years old. I had a friend that passed away of cancer. It's like a best friend of mine. And I was really processing old feelings from that experience as a 14-year-old. And it like started to come up again this month. You know, things that I thought I had dealt with, I had healed. Like I even did energy work on this and some coaching and real work through this. But it all comes up right now. And I think that's what is we're all facing right now, is dealing with so much stuff like coming up, not necessarily from now. It could be from a past life, from an old experience, but it comes up in the surface. Now, how again do we deal with this? Okay, and again, it's amazing how if we look again into the energies of the month of Kislev, we're going to see how the energy of Kislev is going to actually give us some clues as to how to deal with even our subconscious that we access during sleep, which is the sense of the month, in order to access our light. And where do we see this in? We see this in the sign of the month. The zodiac, the sign of the month of Kislev, is the Sagittarius, which is the bow. Now, what's the idea of the bow? The bow is that the more we pull back, the further the bow is actually going to go. So that's really the secret. Like when we actually face what's happening in our subconscious, when we actually face whatever fears, whatever anxiety, whatever feelings are coming up, and we actually take it and we go in with it, and we face the darkness, and we actually sit with it and feel into it, then those feelings, you'll be surprised, they don't overtake us as much. Because if we don't face it, what could really happen? We could just like dissociate from it or pretend that it's not happening. And it comes up. Again, it comes up in our sleep. It comes up in our subconscious. And the more we can actually sit with it, feel the feelings, and really sit with it. And what I actually did, and I think is such a powerful idea, is to really sit with the feelings, feel into them, and feel the light just shining on it. And it just helps it melt those feelings. Like go inside, feel it, and like let the light, that light of your soul, the light of Hashem, the light of Kislev, just allow it to melt away. So that again is this energy of the Sagittarius, of the bow. It's like going inward. It's an opportunity again, not to run away from it, not to run away from the subconscious, even though it could feel easier at times. But again, when we actually use this time as an opportunity to recognize that there is a lesson for us, there's good within the pain, there's good within the feelings. And again, we shouldn't need the pain, we shouldn't need the suffering, but if we actually take the time to feel into it, we extract the good from it.
Oh my gosh.
And then, yeah. And then, do you want to say, Shiloh, you want to say something?
No, I'm just surprised. Oh, all of a sudden I see myself up there. I've been trying to get my hang on.
Oh,
Got
okay.
two videos going. I was
Oh.
just surprised to see myself all of a sudden. I'm listening to you. I
Oh,
was trying to get my face up there.
okay.
I shocked myself because I was in two places.
Okay, that's funny.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay. And you know, I think the advantage that when we actually do that, of actually facing that those darkness and go inward, like that bow, like the Sagittarius, then what happens? Like we can't fight darkness with more darkness. So the more we fight our feelings and we're like, we feel bad for actually having those feelings. We're like, we're not supposed to feel any fear. We're not supposed to feel any anxiety. We have to totally be in bitachon mode and we fight the feelings. What happens? That's our dark side. That's our doubt and our insecurities coming up maybe. And our sense of like, I have to be perfect, which is also our shadow side, our dark side. Facing darkness, more darkness. And then what happens? Darkness come in fighting darkness. It's an explosion. So the more we actually can lean into it and feel into it and be like, okay, you know, I'm safe. Hashem is with me. And I'm feeling those feelings and I'm just going to let the light pass through. The more we do that, the more we can access our light. And again, all this is a month of light, and all of us have to really recognize how much power we have to bring light into the world and how much every act that we do of kindness and goodness is bringing light to the soldiers and bringing light to the hostages and bringing light to the world. And I want to also say one other point here, because again, we've been speaking so much about how from darkness we need light, right? But I want to say a point that the Lubavitcher Rebbe spoke a lot about, and I think this is really, really important, is that because we're in what's called the era of Mashiach, right? That we get used to this dynamic of we have to experience suffering, we have to experience pain in order to feel the light. And I think that we also have to, at the same time, learn, it's true what we're saying, right? This is the truth. But at the same time, not to even allow ourselves to stay in that story so much of like, we need the pain, we need the suffering in order to get the light, because we really could, we should. And I feel like, again, this is Mashiach, where we can experience light and more light and more light in the world. And, you know, like, especially now living in the North, I see Tzivi is here also living in the North. So someone came over and they're like, aren't you scared to live in the North now? We don't know what's going to be. And, you know, we have, I mean, if I look out of my window, I could actually see, you know, our neighbors in Lebanon. It's really not so far from here. And, you know, part of the process of the coming of Mashiach is eradicating Amalek. And, you know, part of the prophecies are like, the king of Persia, which is Iran, it needs to be destroyed. So if we look at things according to the laws of nature, like these, they need to be destroyed, right? But I, you know, and in a way, when I started really learning this and I started realizing like, okay, yeah, the darkness needs to be destroyed, but it doesn't need to be destroyed with suffering. Like Hashem could send an earthquake. Hashem could send who knows what, and they could be destroyed. There could be a deadly plague of corona that just goes through all these leaders and these terrible, you know, terrorists, and they, that could be the end of them. Like something totally supernatural could happen. And I think to really hold on to that at the same time, you know, this morning there was lightning. We had a crazy, an unbelievable day. I've never experienced anything like it. There was thunder and lightning all day. All day. So I looked over on the sky and I saw like right over where Lebanon is, this huge bolt of lightning. And I was like, whoa, there we go. Like that could be it right there, you know, in a moment. It could just be like, boom, the whole thing could be destroyed. So I really feel again, like the story of our existence has been supernatural. We have the Hanukkah story. We have the Purim story. We have so many stories to hold on to really believe like, this is going to end in supernatural ways. And I'm like so excited this month to really believe of like what miracles we are about to see. Like I really feel we're about to see miracles that the world is going to be like, wow, ain od milvado. There's nothing but you, Hashem. And again, it's, I feel like we did the work. I'm saying this very affirmatively. I think is we've done the work in the world of that, of the darkness. I mean, we've been crushed like never before. And I see, especially in Israel, and Israel is the heart of the world, like it's brought out so much light, so much unity, so much love. I mean, never before. You just, the amount of food going out to soldiers and the world raising money for Israel and just the connection that people feel here right now is like, it's just, it's Geula, it's Mashiach. And again, if Israel is the heart of the world, and I know around the world, people are experiencing, it's the anti-Semitism and what people are experiencing is so, it's so hard, right? It's so devastating and it's like challenging our existence. But again, even that I see is bringing out people's light. It's like, if there are people and anti-Semitism and people are like, whoa, like I'm Jewish. What does that mean to be a Jew? If people are fighting me and against me as a Jew, what does that mean really for me to be a Jew? And what is being a Jew about, right? So all of us, I think, are being faced again with our darkness, but we're all within the world even, but it's bringing out our strength. And again, if Israel is the heart of the world, I feel like, again, we've done our work of being crush, and miraculous things really are going to happen this month. I really believe that very, very strongly. So I want to also share just a few things before Miriam's going to do the meditation. First of all, that in Live Kabbalah, we were going to be having a program starting in the beginning of the year, an Entrance to Kabbalah program, and then the war started. And we just realized, like, the world so fast shifted that the world just needs something different. And we're having a program, actually, it's going to be starting in January after Hanukkah, called Becoming a Light Warrior, where it's going to be a whole curriculum for a year on how to really access our light. And there's going to be a weekly class given by my husband. And I'm going to be doing a once a week, a coaching learning followed by a group coaching, which is, I think this is, again, this is the call of the hour. All of us are really being asked to access our light, become our light. So that's really exciting. I can share a link, or it's actually on livekabbalah.com if anyone wants to check it out. And I see we have some people who are actually registered, so it's going to be very exciting. And what I also wanted to do is, I think it's really important that we just say some Tehillim, maybe two chapters of Tehillim for, again, for safety, for the soldiers, and miracles from the hostages. And then we're going to have our meditation from Miriam Rachel. Does anyone want to say some Tehillim, or should I say it? Yeah, if anyone wants to say.
Any specific one, Miriam, or?
So I was thinking of saying chapter 20. I've heard, and 121. Yeah. I mean, I can read it. So I'll read it. And then again, with the intention that we're bringing safety to the soldiers, light, protection, just like a cloud of protection, a cloud of glory surrounding them, and that the hostages really should just be miraculously freed and feel the light and the connection and love of the Jewish people in that place of terrible darkness. Lamenatzeach Mizmor LeDavid Ya'ancha Adonai B'yom Tzara Yisagecha Shem Elohei Yaakov Yishlach Ezrucha Mikodesh U'mitzian Yisadecha Yizkor Kol Menchotecha Ve'olatcha Yidash Esela Yitim lecha kevavecha v'chol atatcha yimalei. Nirana bishuatecha v'shem Eloheinu nigdol yimalei Adonai kol mishaltecha. Ata yadati ki yoshi anai mishicho yanei mishmi kadsho begvurot yesha yeminu. Ile barechev ve'ile basusim v'nachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu naskir. Him akaru v'nafalu v'nachnu kamnu v'nitodad Adonai hoshia hamelech yaneinu b'yom kareinu. Okay, and now Shir Lamalot Esayinai El Arim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitem Amot Raglecha, Al Yanom Shomrecha. Hine Lo Yanom Ve'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tzilcha Al Yadi Minecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakecha V'yareach Balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra. Yishmor Es Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzizcha Avo'echa Me'ata V'yad Olam. So, okay. So first of all, I also want to read some of the, I saw there were some messages before we start with the meditation. Is that okay, Miriam Rachel? You have a little bit, a few more minutes? Yeah? Okay, great. Because I just want to, I see we had some stuff in the, some things in the chat. I wanted to just read it. From Lori, Hashem gives us clues that we have dark, that the darkness equals a malach that we have to dispel, though it's difficult to understand that the evil can be dispelled in the blink of an eye. When we are crushed, we need to go inward and shine brighter. What is the Kabbalistic clue? 240 hostages. How? 240 is the gematria of a malach. Wow, the yitzhahar, the evil inclination that we need to rid ourselves of. Very powerful. Spiritual war within each of us to go out of our comfort zone and do the right thing, the hard things that we haven't yet worked on, and tap into the will of Hashem, reaching up to Hashem's in his bodhidus. Personal conversation brings miracles. Wow, that's amazing. Wow. Love that analogy. That is incredible. Wow. Thank you. Hashem speaks to us a lot, but we don't often notice. Numbers are a big part of it. So our words, COVID equals COVID or respect. Wow. I never even heard that in all that years of Corona. Wow. Corona equals crown. Who are we respecting? Hashem is asking, how many people realize that Hashem wants to be crowned king with our actions? Wow. That's amazing. In all the years of COVID, I never actually heard that one. Wow. That's incredible. So now we're going to have this amazing meditation by Miriam Rachel. She is a close friend and she's a student of mine in Tzfat. Now, before we start, I want to say one thing, which is incredible, that a few weeks ago, on Sunday night, there was a class, and at the end of the class, my husband did with the people on a meditation, and it was a light meditation. They were sending light to the soldiers and to the hostages. Now, the next day was the day when that soldier was released, and her name was Ori, which is my light. So again, I really want to say, like, we don't realize that the power, again, of the little things that we do and the power of just a small group of people getting together with the right consciousness, with this consciousness of bringing light, how much of an effect that we have. So with that, I just want to share the mic. I'm going to give over the mic to Miriam. Please introduce yourself.
Hey everyone, I'm so happy to see some familiar faces and also some unfamiliar faces. And, you know, as women, we just have like this really crazy power that Hashem has given us. For those of you that don't know, Rosh Chodesh is a holiday given to women. It's a day that we don't work. It's a day that we come together, that we set intentions. We have like really a superpower. And just by us being together right now without even saying anything or doing anything is in itself something that we can't even imagine what that's doing for the world and for our own lives and for our loved ones. So right now I'm not in Israel. I was in Israel learning from Miriam and many others for quite a few years. And then for the past year and a half, I've been in the States. And I'm just going to kind of get right into it. One thing I want to start off and preface by saying is like, sometimes when we hear the word meditation, we can get really heady and be like, oh my gosh, I have to be perfect. Oh my gosh, I have to like do this crazy thing. I'm not very spiritual, whatever. I want you to let go of everything you think that this is supposed to be and everything that you think you need to accomplish. And the perfect image that you have in your head, just completely let that wash over you. We're just going to sit for a few minutes and see what happens. And there's no pressure to do anything, experience anything. This is just for you to, just to give you the space or some sort of guidance to like really come inwards, like what Miriam was saying. You know, it's not about being outwards. Like, how can we just come inwards? This is also the new moon, and the new moon is a very dark time. The moon is really, really, really small. And it's a time that you plant seeds in the ground in the deep, dark soil. And it's a time to come inwards. A lot of times it's a time that women are bleeding, that they're on their cycle. And it's just a time to like really be quiet. And like that arrow being pulled back to come inwards and start to listen to ourselves and really find that really deep connection to Hashem. And then that, you know, overflows throughout the month. So, please feel free to listen to everything that I say, and please feel free to listen to nothing that I say. If you just want to sit there and be quiet with everyone, that's enough also, okay? So we'll start. Can everyone hear me well? Yeah, okay. So we'll start by closing our eyes if everyone feels comfortable enough to do so, so that we're together, but we're also in our own space. And we can even imagine this as if we're all in a room together. Even though we're in all different parts of the world, there's also a web that's connecting each and every one of us as if we're in a circle right now and having this time and space carved out for one another. And I just want you to notice the things that are happening around you, noises, distractions, thoughts, and just allow them to be there with your inhale and with your exhale. Find a little bit more space to let them go. You know, letting these distractions or these thoughts or these feelings in your body, you know, checking in from the top of your head, all the way down to your belly, all the way down to your feet, really allowing anything that's coming up to just be there and guide you a little bit deeper with every breath. instead of it taking you out of yourself, to let it guide you more into yourself with your breath. So inhaling, inviting God, inviting Hashem into your space, into the space, and with your exhale, letting go of what this needs to be or what needs to happen 10 minutes from now or what happened earlier today, just being here with each other. And it being the month of miracles, if we desire miracles for Am Yisrael, for ourselves and our own lives, we have to recognize that we are miraculous in and of ourselves. So we'll begin with a counting box breath, and we'll do it to the gematria of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which represents the aspect of Hashem that is completely above nature, completely above time and space, that could literally do anything. And we're going to breathe according to this gematria. So we will inhale for a count of 10 seconds. We'll hold our breath at the top for a count of 5 seconds. We'll exhale for a count of 6 seconds, and we'll hold at the bottom for a count of 5 seconds. And that's the Yud, which is Gematria 10, Hey, which is the Gematria 5, Vav, which is the Gematria 6, and Hey, which is the Gematria 5. So we could do this together. On your next inhale, starting 1, 2, 4. Hold at the top. Exhale. Hold at the bottom. Inhale 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, hold at the top. 1, 3, 4, 5. Exhale. 3, 4, 5, 6. Hold at the bottom. Inhale. 7, 8, 9, 10. Hold at the top. Exhale. 5, 6. Hold at the bottom. Inhale. 5, 6. Hold at the top. Exhale. 5, 6. Hold at the bottom. And keep doing this on your own count for just a couple more rounds. And really, our breath, neshima in Hebrew, is connected to the word for soul, or neshama. And as you're breathing in line with Hashem's name, Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei, our neshama is the place where our nefesh and ruach, the lower parts of our soul, have a bridge through our neshama to the higher parts of our soul, our chaya and our yechida. And through our breath, we're really able to connect, to find the oneness between the above nature and within nature, the spiritual and the physical, the concealed and the revealed. So just one or two more rounds of this. And then slowly start to come back to your regular inhales and exhales. And just notice and observing if your breath feels a little bit longer, slower. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. There's no right or wrong. Keeping your eyes softly closed, I'd like you to find a place inside that maybe feels a little bit dark. What I mean by that is it might feel, you can do a body scan from your head to the base of your spine, down to your toes, your face, everything, and see if you can find any area that feels a little bit tight or constricted. It could also be a thought or an emotion that you've experienced today or that you're experiencing now. Just pick one. And if that is something in your body, then I'd like you to place your hand on that area of your body. And if that is a thought or maybe something not physical, but more emotional or mental, then I'd like you to place your focus on that thing. And bring as much of your attention and awareness to this area. And essentially, this is the darkness or the hidden light that we've not yet revealed yet, that Miriam has spoken so beautifully of. And this is essentially our olive. And with just compassionate awareness and observation, just bringing our awareness to the space. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just there. And now with every inhale and exhale that we take, I'd like you to imagine the crushing of this olive. That every inhale you are taking, you're bringing Hashem, you are bringing His infinite light, all that really is, into this space. And with every exhale, that darkness is getting crushed a little bit more, and He's helping. And it's getting crushed. You don't have to force your breath or force the crushing. It's just happening on its own. And you don't have to understand where this is coming from or why it's there. Just keep it in your mind's eye. And with every inhale, inviting Hashem's infinite light, His name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, into this space. And every exhale, it's crushing a little bit more. And what's coming out of this crushing is beautiful oil. Oil that you can imagine going into your favorite vessel. Maybe it's a glass jar. Maybe whatever that vessel is for you, whatever you can imagine it, every time that this crushing is happening, this darkness is being transformed into the most beautiful olive oil, and it's being transferred into this vessel. And if there's anything uncomfortable coming up, that's okay. Hashem, like the Samech, Hashem is holding you. Hashem is holding us in this space together. And we're just being with the uncomfortability. We're just being with the darkness. And with our breath and Hashem guiding us, letting it transform into oil, into light that we get to collect. And if you don't know what you're doing or you don't know if what you're doing is right, that it's okay. It's totally okay. We're just breathing. We're just observing what's happening in our body together with the support of each other. So when your vessel's starting to get a little full, maybe that darkness or that place that seemed a little hard or uncomfortable seems to be a little bit lighter, there's a little bit more space. Whatever's left of it, just having a little thought, a little prayer that Hashem help take care of the rest of it. And that last drop of olive oil coming into the vessel and closing it tight. And just knowing that this is yours. Hashem gives us our darkness. And in reality, in a hidden way, it is the light that lights up the menorah, that lights up the entire world in ways that the light itself could never, ever do. Knowing that we can reach the part of our yechida through our breath, through this crushing that Hashem is doing for us and to us. And knowing what will come on the other side of it. And just to end, I would love if we can all open our vessel of our olive oil and imagine we're all in a circle together right now. And in the middle of the circle, there's a menorah. And I love for each of us to walk up to that menorah and pour a little bit from our vessel into the menorah, into the vessels that will light the candles of Hanukkah. And everyone can pour just a few drops. And then we can come back to where we're sitting. And I'd like you to imagine the Kohen Gadol lighting this menorah, the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash. He's lighting every wick, all 8 of them, to remember that we are above nature just as Hashem is. And that this light and this oil is shining for all of the world, for all of Am Yisrael. Imagine this light lighting up the entire room, your entire body, our entire nation, our entire country. And the world at large. Because Hashem can do anything. He can make the dark itself light. And we can too. So just coming back to your breath, wherever you're holding, however your body's feeling. Feeling grounded below your sit bones and yet pulled up and elevated from the top and the crown of your head up. Remembering just like the letter Samech that Hashem is literally surrounding you. Surrounding you with this light. Hashem is beyond all light and darkness. And before opening your eyes, or whenever you're ready, you can begin to slowly come out of it. But if you'd like to give one little word, either in your thoughts or out loud, you can whisper a prayer, either to the soldiers or for yourself or your family, a loved one. Any little seed of intention you'd like to plant for the month. And I'd like to put out the prayer that, please Hashem, we can be in this world and remember that Hashem is beyond all darkness and all light. He's a light that is beyond the light that comes from darkness itself. And we should also live in that place that is beyond darkness and light, to really experience His oneness. Please God, as a whole nation and in our homeland and wherever we find ourselves. Feel free to stay here as long as you need to or would like, but I'd love to just hand it back over to Miriam.
Wow. How can you even like speak? Wow. Oh, that was incredible. Thank you so much. Wow. I so needed that. We all did. Wow. That was really powerful. Wow. Like my neck just totally melted. Like just, I had like.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Wow, really, thank you so much. So thank you, everyone. Hi, Jane, how are you? Good to see you.
That was wonderful. My pain in my lower back went away, so I really appreciate that.
Yay, that's so good to hear.
Exactly, yeah, my pain in
my... Thank you, it was so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for being.
I felt a happiness at the end. So much happiness. So totally free. Aww. Of everything. Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome.
Wow. Amazing. Anyone have anything we want to share or say or add to? Or I don't know. Or anyone want to give a blessing or anything, please feel free. Open your mic. No. Shani, I see you on there. I want to say, I was on Facebook. I saw some of your posts. Like, you're amazing. You're really standing and really being a light and really standing unapologetically for the truth that you believe. It's amazing. Keep on standing in your light. So powerful. Yeah, and a real inspiration. Yeah. So thank you everyone for being here. And I'm really so excited to like meet next month, and we're going to be sharing all the miracle stories that we hear this month. Really. I'm just really so excited.
Yeah, we have to meet in the Beis Hamikdash. Not on Zoom.
Exactly. Are going to be, that's going to be just so exciting. We'll stand in this circle and we can hold hands. And I'm so excited. I'm really excited. Amazing.
Yeah.
Should be on eagle's wings. Everyone should be coming back. All right. Yeah. Chodesh Tov, everyone. Have a beautiful new month. And sending my love. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Chodesh Tov, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.